Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee's police chief is injured after a crash this morning. Perhaps ironically, it happened after Jeffrey Norman left a press conference about the city's reckless driving problem. A Journal Sentinel reporter who saw the crash says it appears a dump truck ran a red light. Republicans will have a top-tier candidate for U.S. Senate in a month or two. That's according to Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Schimming. He tells WISN-TV's Upfront Tammy Baldwin is not guaranteed re-election.
Have you seen U.S. Senator Russ Feingold around lately? Because Russ Feingold was in better shape from polling perspective when he ran both times than Tammy Baldwin is right now.
Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler says he expects that Republican to be Madison businessman Eric Hovde. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The two-year anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack is approaching. On November 21st at 4:39 p.m., the Waukesha community will come together to remember the parade incident by unveiling the Main Street Parade Memorial. The dedication ceremony will happen at the Five Points intersection in downtown Waukesha. After the event, people can make displays for the Waukesha Strong Tile Project. That's an initiative involving donations and the creation of a clay tile to be displayed permanently. West Bend police have expressed their disapproval of a homeowner's clown prank. A few days before Halloween, a teenage girl called 911 in fear, reporting a clown in her friend's house. It turned out to be her friend's dad attempting to prank her. Police arrived and issued a ticket to the father. He apologized, explaining he didn't intend to scare her so severely. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Todd Almaz Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Baseball manager Craig Counsell is leaving the Brewers. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens. Craig Counsell has made his decision. He is leaving the Milwaukee Brewers to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs. It's one of the biggest surprise stories in sports in years. Counsell had met with the Cleveland Guardians and then reportedly with the New York Mets. This morning, the Mets announced that they had hired Carlos Mendoza, who spent years with the New York Yankees staff. And then the bombshell, Craig Counsell will replace David Ross as the manager of the Chicago Cubs with a five-year deal worth $40 million. He will go from $3.5 million a year in Milwaukee to over $7 million a year, making him the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. Craig Counsell had this to say last month after the Brewers lost in the playoffs to Arizona.
Look, we're disappointed. I mean, these chances are sacred. They're for players that you get this window to have a great month of October, and so it hurts for it to be over.
Again, Craig Counsell, the new manager of the Chicago Cubs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with a high of 64. West winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 39 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. And boy, was there a lot of it made this weekend. It's hard to know where to start, but I'll tell you where I'm going to start. That's Donald Trump stinking up the courtroom in New York in his fraud trial. Die Gruppenführer, the Trumpenführer, stunk up the courtroom in the New York fraud trial. Here's what's going on. As I was coming on the air, I mean, I haven't had the full account yet of everything he did, but I know a lot of what he did. He did a very, very dangerous tactic. The last time that I remember this being done was the Chicago 7 in their 1972 appeal, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Here's what Trump did. Now, the average person, if you were being sued for $250 million or the equivalent, in other words, wiping you out personally, you would be respectful of the law. You would show up in court. You'd be well prepared. You'd have a good lawyer. You'd answer questions. If they were difficult questions, you would have worked out in advance with your lawyer on a correct and truthful answer, but an answer that doesn't give away the store. There is another theory on this. And that theory is this, that what you do is you're going to lose anyway. So be outrageous, be a circus, anger the judge so much that he makes a mistake, that he does something over the top himself, and then on appeal, they will reverse it, and then you try to settle or work it out some other way. That's what Trump did. First of all, he walks into the courtroom and he gives a speech outside about how unfair this is, how he's being set up. The judge is no good. This one's no good. That one's no good. He goes into the courtroom. Now, let me give you the background. On Friday, Judge Erdogan had a back and forth with the lawyer, Christopher Keyes, and with Elina Hobbs. And they attack him. The judge says, I've been inundated with hundreds of harassing and threatening phone calls, voicemails, emails, letters, and packages. And you know what Keyes had the guts to say? And this is something that Trump set him up to do. Keyes, the lawyer, said, quote, if you are receiving advice from the clerk that is indicative of bias, we have to make a record. Rulings are frequently, if not inordinately, against us on every major issue. I'll wait again to get the note you have from the clerk. Maybe it's about dinner. First of all, that is so impertinent, so disrespectful. This is the judge's law clerk. This is Friday. This sets up what happened today. I was the law clerk, mentioned this before on the air, for the Honorable Thomas D. Fairchild, the Chief Judge of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, federal court, one of the greatest judges in Wisconsin history, one of the great judges in U.S. history, and I've learned a lot from him. When you are somebody's law clerk, it is the best job you'll ever have in your life. You're there with the judge. You read the same briefs, listen to the arguments, and he tells you how he wants the case. This is an appellate clerk to come out, and then you research it and you write it to come out that way. And then he revises it, edits it, does whatever he wants with it, and it's published under his name, not your name. The point is, you have a close friendship with your judge. In the trial court, remember, in the appellate court, you have three judges sitting up on a dais. The three law clerks for them are sitting along a little bench along the wall. You don't get to talk to them during oral argument, but you talk to them plenty leading up to it and afterwards. In the case of a trial judge, there's one judge, he's sitting up on a chair. The clerk sits right near him, frequently right near him. And she can pass him a note. He can talk to him, whisper to him. The idea is the clerk is his eyes and ears in the research. And so if an argument is made, the clerk can say to him, the Jones case, remember, judge, said this. That is not only normal, that's required of a good clerk. Kyes and Trump tried to make it look like this clerk had some kind of relationship with the judge. And Trump tried to make sure or give the impression that she had a relationship with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer, for God's sake, the majority of the Senate, because she took a photo op with him along with many other people at an event. This is crooked stuff coming from Trump and his lawyers. I've never seen a lawyer do something like this. I think it is because they know to keep Trump as a client, or more importantly, to get paid by Trump, that they have to suck up to him and mimic him like little monkeys. And that's what they're doing. The only other time I can ever remember even hearing about something like this was organized crime trials, where frequently the lawyer will try to adopt the braggadocio and the blarney of the mob boss that he's representing. But it's very rare, and it really hurts you with that judge. And what's especially stupid about this is there's no jury. And why is there no jury? Because Trump waived a jury. In a civil case and in a criminal case, if you want to, you can waive a jury. You can say, judge, I don't want a jury. The other side, the plaintiff in a civil case, the prosecutor in a criminal case, have to agree. If they don't agree, the judge has to make up his mind. But in this case, Trump, for some reason, thought he didn't want a jury because he knows he has a bogus, fraudulent case that they'll see through. And he's hoping that the judge, and he didn't know which judge he was going to have, by the way, in advance, I don't think. But maybe he did. Maybe he didn't know enough about Erdogan. And I think what he thought was, well, I have a lot of technical defenses that a jury is going to say baloney, but this judge might, he might buy it. But now, so here's what happens. At the end of the day on Friday, Judge Erdogan said, all right, I've had enough. I am extending the gag order to the lawyers. I'm extending the gag order to the lawyers. And if you open your mouth, and it's easier to throw a lawyer in jail than it is a presidential candidate. Now, what's going to happen here? Trump walks into the courtroom this morning. And what he did is he tried to blow it up. He gave political speeches. The same stuff. This is a railroad job. Everybody here is against me. He's speaking not to the judge. He's speaking to his base in the Republican primary. That's what he's speaking to. And then occasionally when he was trapped into answering anything about his financial statements. He didn't know beans about them, never heard about them. He had high-priced accountants. They should have done it. It's there. They should go to jail, not him. Well, thank you. They did. Alan Weisselberg did go to jail, by the way. Rikers Island, one of the worst. And then they say, well, you certified these financials, you. And this is rigged against me, this judge, this one, that one, the other one. Tries to get away with murder. I see the lines. I'm going to go to them now, but I want to leave you with one analogy. The only other time I had personal experience, and it was sort of indirect personal experience, the judge Fairchild that I clerked for in 1975, back in 1972, when I was still in the Navy, so I wasn't involved, he was one of the three judges on the appeal of the Chicago 7 trial. Chicago 7 were these guys, I think it was Jerry Rubin and this one and that one, who disrupted the 1968 Democratic Convention. They were arrested, and they go to trial in Chicago in the late 60s, and they baited the judge. They baited him. They made fun of him, of his ethnicity. The judge bound and gagged them. There was a conviction. It went up on the Court of Appeals of the Seventh Circuit. The Seventh Circuit overturned it, said it was an extraordinary step to take to stop their contempt. That's what Trump's trying to do now. I'm going to get to as many of you as I can in order. If I don't get to you this segment, I will lead the next segment with you. Don't hang up. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You're first. What's in your mind, Bill?
Say, I've been reading something, and I lean on you for direction. So I'm going to lean on you for direction on this. Viktor Orban, Bibi Netanyahu, and Donald Trump have something in common. They all are part of what you want to call the European Union, or this far-right organization that's so far-right that they become dictators. Now, if you doubt what I say, the guest speaker at CPAC is going to be Viktor Orban. And if that isn't enough, let me get this straight now. There's an article written about Netanyahu called The Perfect Storm. I encourage people to read that article. Oh, my gosh. When I started reading this and when I heard about CPAC, I'll tell you what, I had to call you, Matt. Tell me what you think.
Well, not much. I'll tell you, Viktor Orban, what kills me about Viktor Orban, and we're going to be going to a break, so the rest of you hang on. I'll get to you right after the break. But Viktor Orban is a guy who doesn't want to help Ukraine. He's pro-Russian, pro-Putin. And what most people don't understand, in 1956, the Russians invaded Hungary, tortured people, locked them up. The Hungarians should hate Russia. Budapest, the main city is two cities, Buda and Pest. Buda is on one bank of the Danube. Pest is on the other bank of the Danube. There is a torture chamber that's still a museum in the Pest side. It's a building. If you were taken into that by the Russians in 1956, you were tortured. What the hell is Orban, I could care less. What is Hungary doing voting for a guy like Viktor Orban? The fact that he's going to be speaking at the CPAC thing is disgusting. And, you know, there are too many people in the Republican Party, because of Trump's influence, who are cozying up to Putin, cozying up to Orban, cozying up to people of that ilk. A lot more to talk about that, but we're going right to a break, unfortunately. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. I'll get back to you right after the break.
Long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
The Shaw, WAUK.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Go right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, your first What's Your Mind Day, Andrew.
Hey, Matt, first of all, thank you for your participation in the military for us. Thank you for what you've done in your legal profession for us. Thank you for educating us every weekday. Bill of Okinawa had a lot of great points. And I want to say, I think the Orange Satan is yapping away the way he does. He wants to get as much nonsense out there. He just wants to flap his gums so he can finally take this to the Supreme Court and say he has not been allowed to speak. People are trying to stop his freedom of speech, freedom of expression. I think that's what he's looking for. And maybe using that, he can somehow have some of this stuff just thrown out of court. His kids were running around last week saying, we're going to win this case. We're going to win the. The case has already been lost. You lost the case. They're just figuring out now how to punish you, you idiots. And they say Biden's son, no experience hunter. I don't get it.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, Andrew, thank you for a great, and thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the great call. And as I go to the next caller, I'm going to say this, and this is hard to believe, but they asked him, you know, he lied in his certified financials about the size of his apartment on Fifth Avenue. He said it was 30,000 square feet. It was 11,000. And in New York, there are people who pay a couple of $100 million for an apartment, like a 30,000 one. And he lied. You know what he said? He said, well, no, I counted the roof. What do you mean you counted the roof? Well, if you count the roof, it was a little closer. Well, it's not even much closer. Hey, I got news for you. The average person may not know enough, a lot about financial statements, but the average person knows if a guy sells you his house and he says it's X square feet, and it turns out he's counting the roof. You can't live on the roof, you idiot. This guy is beyond belief, tries to get away with murder. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind? Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. With all the things that are going on with Trump, and there's many, to say the least, the New York Times poll this weekend has Trump leading Biden in all the battleground states except Wisconsin. Some of the headwinds are immigration and cost of living, and there were several other things. But it's just, I'm not really concerned because we've got quite a long time to go before the election here. But the thought of even Trump beating anybody with all the stuff that's going on. If this guy were to ever get reelected, I don't have the words for what might happen with that. So, okay, Matt, have a great day.
Well, Paul, as usual, before I go to the next call, I'll just say this, that you have anticipated the next segment. And those polls are not what they seem, and I'm going to talk about that. But first, I'm going to call on Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's in your mind today?
The youth vote. The youth vote is deserting Biden. And this is after decades of underfunding history and civics teaching in the grades. I think we've created an opportunity for a demagogue like Trump to take away the youth vote, even though he's against them on abortion and student loans and, of course, climate change and all those things. You got all those intellectual issues, but emotionally, they consider him too old. They're falling for the propaganda of saying senile every other time they talk about Biden on the Fox News channel, even though there's almost zero evidence of that kind of thing.
That's a very important issue, and I'm going to fill in some facts, Bob. That's a very good call. I'm just going to fill in some facts. The polls that you and Wisco Paul were referring to are in six swing states. They're Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. In all of them except Nevada, the polls are in the margin of error. So in Arizona, Biden and Trump are in the margin of error. Georgia the same, Pennsylvania the same, Michigan the same, and frankly, Wisconsin the same, even though Biden's ahead. Margin of error is 4.8. And so they're in the margin of error. In Nevada, they're slightly outside the margin of error. But I got to tell you something. When people talk about swing states, the ball game is not all six of them. The ball game is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia are nice to pick up. Biden carried them last time by a little bit. But the truth of the matter is, even if Trump won those, if Biden wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, some of the other states we expect him to win, he'll win the election. And the other thing I'm going to say before I go to the next caller is that it is a year out, and Biden is the incumbent. And Biden is to put up with the Middle East. He has to put up with Taiwan and China, Ukraine, inflation. He has to, Iran, all of this, North Korea. Trump can sit back and just cast pot shots. And he has great name recognition because he was the president. The amazing thing to me is he's not 10 points ahead. If this were somebody like even a bad president like George W. Bush, or certainly like a Mitt Romney or somebody like that, they'd be 10 points ahead normally. The fact that he's in the margin of error and behind somewhere, people are catching on that he's a crook, a criminal, he's a thief. He is der Trumpenführer, he's der Gropenführer. He's a freak. We don't want a freak. Northwoods Terry, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind in Northwoods Terry?
Yeah, Matt. Great show again. Here's what I'm hearing up here in the brush, Matt. Hearing about migrants.
Yeah.
Well, let me back up. A migration. That's what I hear about the open borders. That's constantly what I hear. And here's an article that I read the other day. Here's what it said about the asylum thing, you know, where they come through port of entry, Matt, and they get issued this court order to show up to see if they can stay in the country, you know, if their life is threatened in country of origin, I guess, is the way it's supposed to work. Now, this article I read about Trump and his policy, he would keep them in Mexico, would not let them come across and come into the United States. That's going to fly up here in the brush here with these rascals, Matt. I'm telling you that. And the second point, Matt, is EV, electric vehicles. These rascals up here say it's Joe's shoving that down our throats, EVs. EVs are a good thing, but we're getting this shoved down our throat too fast. That's all I got, Matt. I look for your comments.
That's plenty. No, that's plenty, and that's important. And it's something when people are watching on the news every night, people being shipped into New York, Chicago, roaming around, coming across the border, being given a ticket to show up, and then they never show up. I agree. I think that this is the key issue. And you can say to your blue in the face that we need employees and blah, blah, blah. The truth of the matter is that is the reason why Trump is still in the game. I'm going to address it after the break. We're going to another break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin is out with a $32 million workforce development plan. It's the system's attempt to recover money Republicans cut from state universities in the state budget. The budget lets universities recover the money if it's spent on workforce development and not diversity efforts. Republicans are also holding up pay raises for faculty and staff until Wisconsin universities cut diversity spending. More people are in Wisconsin state prisons for rules violations than violent crimes. That's according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. The ACLU says the leading cause of incarceration in Wisconsin since 2000 are for things like changing jobs without notifying a parole agent or missing a meeting. Critics say Wisconsin prisons are overcrowded. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee County commuters are celebrating the reopening of a formerly closed road. After more than 3 years, sections of 41 near Mayfair Mall are reopening today. Drivers can now access the on-ramps from both northbound and southbound 41 onto North Avenue. The added fourth traffic lane on 41 between Burleigh and Watertown Plank will help reduce traffic congestion. The 13th annual Shop with the Sheriff event in Waukesha has a date. The event, December 10th, will pair children from Waukesha County with deputies or corrections officers, and it relies on the generous donations of local citizens and businesses. To support the event, donations can be mailed to the Waukesha County Sheriff's Department. A statement says the event not only brings joy to the children, but also uplifts the deputies, corrections officers, and countless volunteers involved. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own? It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got 4 in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to 4. That sounds manageable.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Baseball manager Craig Counsell is leaving the Brewers. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens. Craig Counsell has made his decision. He is leaving the Milwaukee Brewers to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs. It's one of the biggest surprise stories in sports in years. Counsell had met with the Cleveland Guardians and then reportedly with the New York Mets. This morning, the Mets announced that they had hired Carlos Mendoza, who spent years with the New York Yankees staff. And then the bombshell, Craig Counsell will replace David Ross as the manager of the Chicago Cubs with a 5-year deal worth $40 million. He will go from $3.5 million a year in Milwaukee to over $7 million a year, making him the highest paid manager in Major League Baseball. Craig Counsell had this to say last month after the Brewers lost in the playoffs to Arizona.
Look, we're disappointed. I mean, these chances are sacred. They're for players that you get this window to have a great month of October, and so it hurts for it to be over.
Again, Craig Counsell, the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with a high of 64. West winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows level off around 39 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Shoot.
Welcome back to Mifflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. I'll go to you in a second. I just want to make this comment in response to Northwood's Terry. I think he's onto something. I think that the issue of immigration is going to be conceivably the major issue, perhaps along with the cost of living in this election. And quite frankly, think of it this way. There are 8 billion people in the world, 8 billion. There are probably 4 billion who are not doing very well, and more than that, who would love to come to the United States. You cannot take everybody. As much as it breaks your heart not to, you cannot take everybody. When you have something like, I don't know, 900,000 people a year walking in, many of them being given a ticket to come back and they don't come back. Some people have called and said, and they made a good point, well, it's lawful if they're really refugees. What's a refugee? A refugee is somebody who's afraid of persecution because of race or religion, typically. You can also put in sexual orientation. But that isn't true. Most of the economic refugees, I don't blame them. All of our ancestors came over. My ancestors came from Ireland in the 1870s. They were economic refugees. God bless them, and God bless everybody trying to get in now. But it's a legitimate question how many you can tolerate before politically it blows up. And that's what's happening now. Joe Biden has a lot on his plate, but that's one thing he's going to have to discuss, think about, and solve between now and the election. Diane in Wisconsin, my friend. Thanks for calling, Diane. What's in your mind today?
Well, I was just wondering, I had a question for you. You know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running, and he's been campaigning a lot, and he's been putting out a lot of shows, and he's doing pretty well in the polls as well. But here's what I don't understand. He's a Kennedy, and he's applied for police protection, you know, Secret Service, many times, and the Biden administration refuses to give him police protection. He's a Kennedy, and you know, the Kennedys, what family's given more or lost more to this country? I don't understand why they don't provide police protection, especially given that a couple of people have actually tried to get it. Invaders have tried to get into their house, and they had weapons, two of them. And our party will not give them police protection. What is that about? Do you think that that will be in Biden's favor, or do you think there'll be pushback?
No, I don't think it's Biden. Thank you, Diane. That's an excellent. Let me give you some background you might find interesting. In 1968, when Bobby Kennedy was running, his father was running for president. I was in college, and I was a member of a group of Democrats who campaigned for that ticket and for Abe Ribicoff, who was the senator at the time in Connecticut. Bobby was assassinated, as his elder brother had been, and as Dr. Martin Luther King did. My favorite song is Abraham, Martin, and John. Have you ever heard that song? Abraham and Martin and John. Pretty soon, Bobby. These are the iconic people, Abraham, Martin, and John, and Bobby in American history. In 1980, Teddy Kennedy ran for president in a primary against Jimmy Carter. I like Carter, but I was a Kennedy man. So I was, Ted Kennedy asked me, his campaign asked me to be his Milwaukee County chairman. And I was. And I met Teddy many times. I never met Bobby before. But I met his sisters that were still alive at the time. And have wonderful handwritten notes from them that I have on my wall at home. So there is nobody who's more of a Kennedy guy than I am. And I frequently said on the show that I'm a Roosevelt, Kennedy, Truman, Democrat. Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, and John F. Kennedy, three giants. Now, the thing about Secret Service protection, the thing about Bobby Kennedy is this. Bobby RFK Jr. is not his dad. And he is drawing more votes away from Trump in the polls and more donors away from Trump than he is from Democrats. He is, frankly, a nut, a lot of the things he says. He's not his father, but put all that aside. I could put all of that aside except for one thing. Sirhan Sirhan was the guy that assassinated his father. Sirhan Sirhan was angry that Bobby Kennedy had supported sending airplanes to Israel in 1968. He was sentenced to death. That was commuted, and he got life imprisonment. He has put in for parole every couple of years the entire time. And when he puts in for parole, he taunts. He'll say, "I'll do it again." Or he'd say, "I don't remember doing it." Or the next time he'd say, "It's not the kind of thing I do, but so what?" At the time of the last parole hearing, the parole board decided to give him parole. It was a super so-called progressive, really kind of the, you know, identity politics crowd, California, but it had to be ratified by Governor Newsom. Almost the entire living Kennedy family wrote to Newsom and said, "Don't give this guy parole. He killed our father, our brother, whoever the family member was, and he's not penitent at all. He taunts us." There was one letter that came from the Kennedy family urging parole, and that was from RFK Jr., the guy running for president. To be very honest with you, Diane, I would go with almost any Kennedy, even if he was drawing more from Trump than Biden. But I cannot and will not abide by a man who has urged that his father's murderer be set free. That I will not do. In literature and history, he would kill his father's murderer. In literature and history, there is a line that I will not be permitted to draw. And the fact that he is, in effect, in the corner of his father's murderer tells me that he is a strange guy. He looks like his father. He can sound like his father. He doesn't say anything like his father or his uncle, President Kennedy. Occasionally, you have somebody in the family who strays, and he has strayed. Now, when it comes, however, to police protection, I would give him police protection, but let me tell you why he's not being given it. Do you know how many people run for president? Every 4 years, a couple of hundred, believe it or not. You never hear about them. There'll be a businessman in Topeka. There'll be a barber in Minneapolis. There'll be an insurance agent in St. Louis. They just put their name on the ballot. They don't get protection. Protection is not given. Secret Service protection is not given unless you hit a certain margin in the polls. He has not hit that margin, and he never is going to. But you raise a good point, and here's why I would make an exception. And that is because he is a Kennedy, for better or for worse. He's not a good Kennedy. He was in the corner of his father's murder. I can't forgive that. I looked up to the Kennedy family, and I still do. But because his name is Kennedy, for that reason, I would make an exception. Joe Biden doesn't decide these things. The Secret Service decides these things. If the Senate wanted him to get protection, if Mitch McConnell and Schumer and the rest of them, he'd have protection. But that would depend on the Republicans giving 9 votes to beat a filibuster, and he's taking votes away from Trump, not Biden. Biden, what I would say is, by executive order could say it, if there's evidence that he can't afford his own protection, the Kennedy family does have money. That's a different story. So I think it's a fantastic call you just made. It's an important call, and I wanted you to know all the nuances behind what I said. and thank you for the call. Somebody had noted earlier, and I forget who it was, that Trump keeps attacking Biden as senile. Another call. I want to take this call before I go into this and refute it. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thank you for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, well, Biden senile. Has anyone ever actually listened to what Trump says when he speaks? But that's not really where I wanted to go here. As you pointed out, Biden doesn't make the decisions. It's probably the Secret Service that decides whom to protect. And
right.
Biden doesn't make the decisions for the Department of Justice. They decide whom they're going to prosecute. And definitely not in the case of Georgia, where that's not even a federal prosecution. Unfortunately, it should be, but it's not. But I wanted to address one other thing. We had a caller earlier today that called in on one of the talk shows, and he said, well, Biden's economy is terrible, and Trump is the one to fix the economy. What Trump did for the two, yeah, I know. But this is he's obviously a Trumpite acolyte. I mean, I'd really love to see. I took a picture last night, and if I can send it attached to a text, I'll send it to the station. But it was a picture of the gas pumps, you know, the ones that everybody was showing online that were $6 a gallon or whatever. This one said $2.89, I think it was. You know, stuff like that's got to be publicized more. But the most dangerous thing is this Johnson guy, and I don't mean Rojo, I mean Mike Johnson. And he is clearly going to attempt to trash the economy by basically either attaching poison pills to budget bills, or by in fact just simply not bothering to go forth
right.
Pay for the national debt.
Right.
That I think is the, you know, they've been saying the economy is so terrible for years, literally, ever since Biden took office. Well, the one that trashed the economy was Trump.
Right. Well, Jack, here's the thing. Two things. We're going to be talking about Mike Johnson in an upcoming segment. But if you take a look at the economy, the number of jobs created under Biden, the attack on inflation, everything about this economy is humming along terrifically. And the Republican presidents from the 1980s to now really pulled the country back, all of them, if you look at them in an aggregate, because of their policies. It's the Democratic senators, Democratic presidents that have added 90% of the jobs. That is covering up something different. When they talk about the economy, that's not rational. What I was talking about was the attack on Biden. It's Trump. And I'll get into a little of this now until we go to a break. But remember, Trump is 3.5 years younger than Biden. That's it. Trump, in my opinion, has early onset dementia. I'll give you in 1 week some gaffes that he just committed. And I'll start, and if we go to a break, I'll pick it up after that. But he confused the Congressional Black Caucus at a gala with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. He said that Biden is slowly pulling us into World War II. He would have been a draft dodger then anyway. He was a draft dodger in Vietnam. What do you mean World War II? He said that Viktor Orban was the president of Turkey. Viktor Orban is Hungary, not Turkey. He was Hungary. He wanted some Turkey. What an idiot. We're going to a break. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Come together.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
If they vote not to confirm you, that means essentially you're fired. And they just did it yesterday to 8 Evers appointees. And one of the people that was fired yesterday was Melissa Baldoff.
There's just really not a bottom for them yet. Years ago, I thought, well, it couldn't get worse than this. They found a way to let the bar sink a little bit lower.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering healthcare to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to this comparison between Trump and Biden. And let's get real here. At 3.5 years apart, Trump is the guy with early onset dementia. Biden's been terrific. He goes to Ukraine to meet with Zelensky. He goes to Israel to meet with Netanyahu. He is on a plane or fighting all the time. When he speaks, he's firm. Remember one thing, he stuttered as a kid. He got beaten up. He really did. He got bullied. He dealt with it. Occasionally hold a pencil in his hand. Have you ever noticed that, a pen or a pencil? I'm told that that's something that they call them disfluent people, stutterers, will do to reorient themselves. People say, well, occasionally he stumbles over a teleprompter. I'm going to hit these. This is Trump just in October. I think in a week or two in October. He gets up at a gala, and he mixed up the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. He attacks Biden for being close to dragging us into World War II. He praised Viktor Orban, who he said was the president of Turkey. Viktor Orban is the head man, the strong man in Hungary, not Turkey. He's speaking in Sioux City, Iowa, and he says it was really great to be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He stumbles on teleprompters all the time. Trump. Whenever he sees the word Canada, he frequently says Kanya, C-A-N-Y-A. He says that Turkey has borders with Ukraine and Russia, and they have to be on the alert all the time. That's false. Turkey has a border with Ukraine. Turkey does not have a border with Russia. Now, all of this stuff, you could say, well, yeah, he's slipping a little bit, but what the heck? Well, no, not what the heck. You trash my man, Joe Biden. You throw shade on Biden. You throw some snark on Biden. Biden is at the top of his game. He's the most experienced president we've ever had in our history in terms of the U.S. Senate and in terms of foreign policy. He was chairman of the House Foreign Relations Committee for years. Thank God he's there. Thank God he's there for the economy. Thank God this thief Trump is not in there to destroy our democracy. So as some of these people go, oh, well, Joe, hey, not oh, well, Joe. Your man Trump has early onset dementia. That does not excuse his general tendency to his larceny, mendacity, and hatred of the United States. It doesn't excuse it, but we really don't want this guy as president, Donald Trump. We don't want him. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. Gina, what's in your mind today?
Thank you so much for bringing this up, because this is really important, because, you know, I've never seen somebody be as talented as Joe Biden at his age. Even he's doing a better job than a person a heck of a lot younger in their 50s and 60s. He has experience, he's knowledgeable, you know, and he's everywhere. He's paying attention to the deaths and the shootings and the people who have lost loved ones. He's paying attention to the veterans. He's paying attention to the wars. He's paying attention to the economy, paying attention to streets and roads and bridges and people and caring. What in the devil did Trump do? Not a dang thing. He called people that were in our military, you know, stupid for joining up, and then they, you know, and people who got killed and people who were disabled and ran them down. Biden does everything he can for our military. He cares about the people. He cares about our country. And gol darn it, Trump, all he cared about was having parades for himself. This guy is bad news, and anybody who's that idiotic to support something like this and to run down Joe Biden needs to either wake up, get their head examined, because this man is a con man who anybody who crosses him gets ripped apart and knocked off the ballot or knocked out of their jobs or whatever. Because if you don't bow down to this man, Trump, you're nothing. And boy, we got a man right now who cares about our country and loves every American. And he is smart. And he may have a little bit of a difficulty expressing himself, gol darn it, but he has more things on his plate that he's handling that I have ever seen in my lifetime, and he's doing an outstanding job. And that's my $10 worth, Matt, because we're blessed to have Joe Biden. And every night I say prayers that he stays healthy, and I hope everybody else does too. Thank you, Matt, for taking my call. Boy, people need to wake up. Thank you. Bye.
Love your calls, Jane. As always, you said it far more eloquently than I could or any host could, believe me. Tom of West Dallas, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Tom?
Hi there. I totally agree with Jean. I love Jean. She really tells it like it is and makes sense. I think the biggest problem we have is that everything that Jean said, why are the Democrats not out there all the time singing these praises? The other day I was at a fish fry and they had Fox News on, and I'm watching Laura Ingraham, and the headline read how Biden is coddling the Hamas and cowering down to Hamas and all this. And I'm like, well, this is why people are the way they are. They listen to this BS and then they spout it out, and they are just hammering this 24/7. No wonder why we're in the, you know, that Trump is ahead, if he is really ahead in these polls, is that all this misinformation. But I do not see enough effort on the Democratic side to stand up to these people and say, no, this is how it is, and throw out examples and stuff and try to at least get these people to open their eyes to what Biden is doing compared to Trump. And one other quick thing I have to say, over the weekend, I was watching some TikTok videos, and I'm old. Why I'm watching these, I don't know. But I saw three different videos of people saying that George Carlin is woke. And I am like, where are you getting that from? George Carlin woke? No, George Carlin is telling it like it is. And I'm very sad that he passed away, because he would be making a mint on doing his comedy shows, slamming right. Republicans.
Tom, thanks a lot for calling in. And I will say that I had no anticipation that George Carlin's name would crop up this hour, but I'm delighted you did. But your message is a good one. Joe Biden is one of the best presidents we've had in a long, long time, believe me. And we need him. We absolutely need him. And Democrats should be proud with their heads high. I am. And that's why we talk them up so well on this show. We're going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Your home of the Earl Ingraham Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.